Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zimlick here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone, and glad you're here today. And, you know, I think it's kind of funny, too. You know, I noticed that they kind of renamed the parades in some of these cities to the Irish American Parade or whatever. People don't want to say saint, right? But it'll be St. Patrick's Day forever, right? And hopefully Christmas will always be Christmas. And these holidays that we celebrate, my brothers and sisters, are based in the Judeo-Christian traditions. I mean, it's so beautiful. And yet we just kind of, you know, pretend that God doesn't exist. That's what I call it sometimes, you know. Well, people say, well, I don't believe in God. It's like, whoa, so you don't believe in all of creation, right? So who made all of this stuff anyway, right? And why are we here? And what is the meaning of life? And what is love about? These are the things, my brothers and sisters, that I think can only be answered with an open mind. The mind that opens up to God, opens up to the possibility of miracles. And here we are in the second week of Lent, and I'm very happy to see my other Christian brothers and sisters of these newer churches, these new kids on the block, you know, have only been around for a couple of hundred years, you know, starting to see that Lent has meaning. Lent has meaning. This time, this 40 days of wandering, this 40 days of sitting back. And I think it's good for all of us to remember, you know, to take a break. Take a break, right? Take a break. Take a break. And just breathe. Just take it easy for a minute. Step back and do an assessment of your life. Do an assessment of how you treat other people. And what Jesus Christ is all about. What is he all about? What is Easter all about? God makes the ultimate sacrifice to save us. And that may seem quite obscure right now. But as we get older, I'm getting older, 60 years old now, so I figure I'm two-thirds of the way done. Maybe could be any day for me, right? And not to have this presumption, right? This listening to someone talk about that this week, you know, someone from a Bible church, Protestant church, and they're talking about, you know, I'm saved, I'm all set. And this idea to think that we can sin, we can go on sinning, and we can go on living any kind of way we want and still go to heaven is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's defective theology, my brothers and sisters. And of course, the final backpedal on that is, well, they were never saved in the first place, right? It's like, okay, whatever. You know, the fact of the matter is the Catholic theology makes much more sense, which goes in line with making more sense of infant baptism too, because we are saved through our baptism by the grace of God, right? So we are saved through our baptism. We are being saved, through living a life of virtue and penance, saying we're sorry. Hello. You know. News bulletin, it's a good thing to say you're sorry. Apologize. And ultimately, I hope to be saved. Because God is the one who decides. Jesus Christ, we will all pass before Jesus Christ. Every single one of us. No matter what religion you're in, whether you're a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim or from this Christian division or that Christian division, or an atheist, you're going to walk in front of Jesus. That's for sure. And he will decide. And it gives us pause to think about that. And that all these things are put in front of us. We're all grown-ups. Most of us probably who are listening are grown-ups. And we know that, you know, this is something we must face. So this is the second week of Lent. This is the Epiphany Radio Program. My name is Deacon Louis Zimlick, and we're here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And I don't want to forget either, you know, the Knights of Columbus and many Knights of Columbus organizations Many people are having fish fries so at St. John Bosco's in Matawan, we're having a spaghetti supper. And that's on the 22nd of this month, next Friday. We do spaghetti supper from 5 to 7, then we do Stations of the Cross at 7 o'clock. We'll also do that on the 5th of April as well. We skip a week. We do it every other week. But there's lots of fish fries and, you know, good traditions to go do that. I know that St. Joseph's down on Lake Street, they do a really nice fish fry too, just at St. Joseph Catholic Church downtown. And so, my brothers and sisters, let us not be presumptuous about our faith. Let us not be presumptuous about anything and presume that God has saved us. Just like that, right? I'm all set. I don't know about the rest of you folks, but I'm all set. That attitude of presumption is very irritating and very heretical. Okay, it's a heresy. It's not true. And so we have to think about our salvation. Am I saved? Am I going to heaven? And I think we do need to think about that and question that every day of our lives, but especially at this time. The church asks us, at this time of the year, and of course at Christmas too. Christmas is kind of the mini Lent, but this is the big Lent, right? This 40 days of repentance, almsgiving, fasting, helping the poor, and praying, asking God for clarity and help. So we're going to go right into the scripture readings. This is the second Sunday of Lent. It's also St. Patrick's Day. So enjoy your St. Patrick's Day celebrations, of course, in moderation. Do not end up in jail. You know, that is bad. That would be a bad thing, especially on this holy day. So it is March 17th, 2019, second Sunday of Lent, and our first reading is from Genesis. Genesis 15, 5 through 12, and 17 and 18. The Lord God took Abram outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if you can. Just so," he added, "shall be your descendants be." Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. He then said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans, to give you this land of a possession." "O Lord God," he asked, "how am I to know that I shall possess it?" He answered him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old she-goat and a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove and a young pigeon." Abram brought all these and split them in two, and placed each half opposite the other. But the birds he did not cut up. Birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram stayed with them. As the sun was about to set, a trance fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. When the sun had set and it was dark, there appeared a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch, which passed between those pieces. And it was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I give this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next reading is from Philippians. This is Philippians 3, 17, 4, and 1. So that's Philippians chapter 3, 17 through chapter 4 and verse 1. "Join with the others in being imitators of me, brothers and sisters, and observe those whose thus conduct themselves according to the model you have in us. For many, as I have often told you, and now tell you even in tears, conduct themselves as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. The glory is in their shame. Their minds are occupied with earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we also await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will change our lowly body to conform it with His glorified body, by the power that enables Him also to bring all things into subjection to Himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, is this way, stand firm in the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our gospel reading today is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, 28 through 36. That's Luke 9, the Gospel of Luke 9, 28 through 36. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed into an appearance, and his clothes became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful scripture readings here today. And it is Lent. It is St. Patrick's Day and second weekend of Lent. And my brothers and sisters, if you haven't been to Reconciliation, I suggest you go. I suggest you go to Reconciliation. The church asks us to go at least a minimum of once a year to confess our sins. And it's a good idea to confess those venial sins as well, you know, cussing and swearing and watching things we're not supposed to watch on TV, looking at things on the internet we're not supposed to be looking at, and really cleaning house, right? Cleaning house. So how do we expect to pass on the faith, or how do we decide to live a good life, just a good life, let alone a holy life, but just a good life, to be somewhat happy in this life and eternally happy in the next? We can't do that with a belly full of sin. And, you know, our second reading kind of points that out, right? The Lord says, Paul says, they live by their stomachs, right? And, you know, that's what fasting is about. See? All of these scriptures pointing at these things. You know, people say, "Oh, you Catholics, you know, you're fasting, all that stuff. Where does it say that in scripture?" Well, there's a spot right there in scripture, okay? not living by our stomachs. See? And what's the opposite of not living by our stomachs? Fasting. It's quite fascinating also, you know, in the city of New York, I think it was the New York City school systems, that they've established meatless Mondays now. And of course, I know that they're doing this to save money, because that's what all that government is interested in, is money. I don't really think they're that interested in the health of the people. I think that's really up to us, which is another reason to go to church, which is another reason to listen to God rather than politicians, because it's really about money. But I think it's kind of interesting, you know, because we've had these dietary restrictions. Not that those are what get you to heaven, because that's not what gets you to heaven. The grace of God gets you to heaven. But the thing is that it awakens us. It awakens us to Christ going out in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights fasting, right? Doesn't say he didn't eat anything, but he was fasting. Very little to eat, very little to drink, see? And it's very important that we stay hydrated, right? Don't make ourselves sick. You know, as the scripture said from Ash Wednesday service, don't make ourselves look gloomy like, oh, I'm fasting, please don't look at me, right? We don't want to do that. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves either. But we want to become spiritually fit. And so let us go to this, the first reading from Genesis. You know, God makes his promise to Abram. And Abram becomes the father to all who believe. Abram can see the stars, but no stars, because you see that later on in the reading, when the sun had set, it was dark, right? So many biblical scholars talk about this, that he looked up. God had him look up into the sky and said, you see all these stars? You see the stars? I'm going to make you as numerous as the stars in the sky. You know, and this is the other thing about salvation too. These are the things we need to learn about God, the mysteries of God. God asks us to look, all the stars. Now, during the daytime, can you see the stars? No, you cannot. Are they still there? Yes. But God asks Abram to look up into the stars, and Abram does not question it. Abram says, okay. As numerous as the stars in the sky, look up at the sky and count the stars, if you can. Just so, he added, shall your descendants be. Abram put his faith in the Lord. These five little lines, Genesis 15, 5 and 6. That's what God asks us, my brothers and sisters. That's the good news of God, the simplicity of God. I talk about the simplicity of God quite a bit because people think it's very complicated. I have to memorize the Bible. I need to know all these things. I have to memorize all the traditions of the church. I need to memorize the catechism. Of course, I work directly out of the catechism with these scriptures and the things I preach and talk about, because these are the core beliefs, the core meanings of the scriptures, which for 2,000 years plus have been taught throughout the church, including Old Testament teachings, right? So it's quite beautiful, my brothers and sisters. So this faith is the assurance of things hoped for, just like our salvation. We hope to be saved in the end. We do not assume it. Make the assumption, the great sin of assumption, that I assume, oh, I'm saved. I'm all set. I'm good. No problem. I'm all set. Really. Well, we will see in the end. But I question that, my brothers and sisters, quite heavily, especially my Protestant brothers and sisters, Bible church brothers and sisters, Muslim brothers and sisters, everyone. If you think you're all set, you better think twice. Do not assume what God has planned for you. Do not assume that you're all set, that you're all done working at what God asks us. God asks us 100,000 times in our lifetime to do things for him, for the other person, for the poor, for the sick, for the suffering. We must do those things. We must show our faith. right? So in case you're just joining us, my brothers and sisters, my name is Deacon Louis Zemlich in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today. Any things about the Catholic Church or you're interested in about the Catholic Church, you can go to the Diocese of Kalamazoo website, which is diokzoo.org. You can also go to holyfamilyradio.net, and all of our shows are archived there. There's some great radio stations, local Catholic radio stations to listen to. And another great station to listen to, too, is CatholicAnswers.com, to go to that website, especially for our separated brothers and sisters from the Protestant churches, Bible churches, CatholicAnswers.com. A lot of good men and women who have converted to Catholicism that are just on fire for Jesus Christ and on fire for His church and, you know, have written great books and all kinds of just wonderful things. So I invite you to do that too, to go to those different websites. And so let us continue on to Philippians, our second reading. We just got about 7 or 8 minutes left in our program. But the second reading from Philippians, and it is so beautiful when Christ is talking about united, we are united with Christ in our baptism. Believers already truly participate in the heavenly life of the risen Christ. But this life remains hidden with Christ in God. Christ will change our earthly bodies into the heavenly body gloriously like His in the second coming of Christ. We will be like Christ's glorified body in the second coming. This foretaste of the second coming in this reading from 2 Philippians. Quite beautiful. And then of course our gospel reading is this transfiguration of Christ, that reminding us of what it's going to be like, what heaven is going to be like. I mean, it's what our bodies are going to be like. And I think about, you know, Peter being called to be this chief apostle, the mountain of the transfiguration. God shines in the face of Christ. You hear that? God shines in the face of Christ. A foretaste of the kingdom in the transfiguration. Christ gives new meaning to deeds and signs of the old covenant. Above all, to the Exodus and to the Passover. We share in the Lord's resurrection. Our bodies will change after the second coming to be glorified like Christ. Jesus shows us His divine glory, the cloud and the light. Now this is quite beautiful, my brothers and sisters. We think about the weather, right? When it gets foggy or cloudy or the brightness of the sun, we're glorious to be able to see that, right? A little bit colder today, but we see these weather changes, and it is a great way to communicate with God, and God communicates with us. Even in the scary stuff, you know, things like flooding or tornadoes, and God forbid the loss of life that happens in those situations, and it's so tragic. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, we need to pay attention to it. We need to pay attention to it, where God is in these things. And this reading from the Catechism, 697, Cloud and Light, the Spirit and Cloud, God, the overshadowing of Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, Peter, James, and John, and the voice comes. See? We have these seven individuals, Jesus, Moses, Elijah. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets, Jesus representing our Savior and God. Peter, James, and John, these great, powerful apostles. Peter being, of course, the first pope. But John, I think about John because John was at the foot of the cross, right? He was the last survivor. He's there with the Blessed Mother. John is there, the Apostle John. So you have this youngest, oldest, you know, it's so beautiful. And a voice came saying, "This is my son, my chosen son. This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Do you know who else says those words, my brothers and sisters? At the wedding of Cana, right? What does the Blessed Mother say to the servers? He says, "Do whatever he tells you. Listen to him." Right? I think that is so beautiful. So beautiful, those words. You know, the Blessed Mother and God so tightly connected, right? So tightly connected. And I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, pray. Especially those who, you know, are separated brothers and sisters from the Catholic Church, you know, who do not have any type of relationship with the Blessed Mother Mary. Call out to her. Ask her. Say, "You know, Mary, okay, all right, Blessed Mother Mary, Mother of Jesus Christ, show me. Guide me. Show me. You are the Mother of Jesus Christ, our Savior, whom you alone I worship. But I seek to know you. I seek to know who you are, Blessed Mother Mary. For all generations shall call you blessed." And ask her. This is the woman that was at the foot of the cross. This is the woman who ran with Jesus and Joseph to Egypt to avoid Jesus being murdered by Herod. This is the woman who was there the whole time. There is great power. There is great mercy in her, in her heart. And she will help you. I challenge you. I challenge you to do that. Maybe even, you may even become Catholic. Maybe that's what you're afraid of. Maybe you're afraid of the truth. That Catholicism is true. That the Catholic Christian Church is the true church. The church. The real, the church. I hear many people talk about being in the church. I'll tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you're not practicing Catholic, you're not in the church. You're part of the church, part of the body of Christ. Yes, indeed. But are you in the church, receiving Holy Communion, receiving the sacraments, going to reconciliation? And even those people who call themselves Catholic by in name only, especially these disgraceful politicians, you know, Pelosi and some of the other ones, Biden, the ones, they're not Catholics. They are not Catholics. They are not in the church. They're somewhere, I don't know where they are, but I don't really see them as being in the church. They don't practice their faith. Not when you don't protect the unborn. Not when you don't protect the weakest. But remember this cloud and this light, my brothers and sisters, as you go through this week. The cloud and the light, the power of God Almighty, and the words that He is saying to you, to listen to Jesus Christ, to listen for Jesus Christ, that He is calling you to repentance, calling you to healing, calling you back home. Calling you to be honest with yourself. Calling you to love yourself. To love your neighbor. That there may be peace. So on this beautiful St. Patrick's Day, may Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. We love you.